You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Family Life Cycle with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey.
This is our month for Focus on the Family. We do this every year. And in July, we take various topics. And this year, we want to look at what's known as the family life cycle. And the family life cycle has to do with the emotional and intellectual stages that you pass through from childhood up to your retirement years as a member of a family. And so we're going to be looking as you look at that from starting at the top at 12 o'clock and go clockwise, you see there that you start off as an unattached young adult. The next stage you go to is being a newly married couple, such as we have to my left. That's why they're here. And then you move on from there, and you know, in the regular progression of things, then you become a family with young children. Children grow up. Then you become family with adolescents. And then after the teenage years, then you get into what's called a launching family. The launching family is called launching. Some of us, we grew up called kicking them out. It's called launching. You don't kick kids out. They launch. They move on to college. They go on to the military. They leave the home. And then you go into those later years, family in later years. And so we think it's really important to, the Bible says, as a foundational scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything there's a time and there's a season. A lot of us, we're conscious about times. We're not always conscious about season, because time is always going on. You know, right now there's time. But you know, where time is tick, tick, tick. But you can have time in different seasons. And so we think it's really important that we take the time to know and to look at and to be conscious of where you are in this family life cycle so that you don't get out of season. And so you don't also become disgruntled, stressed out, jealous, comparing yourself to other people who are just in different seasons. Now, the reason why I know this is important is because, for example, Pastor Marsh and I, we just came back from Paris, France, and a lot of people, as a result of seeing our pictures and hearing the pastors went to Paris, a lot of wives came home telling their husband they want them to take them to Paris. Okay? And then a lot of people, now talking about we need to go to Paris because our pastors went to Paris. And what you fail to remember, if you put the life cycle back up, and even the next one, the second slide, the life cycle, again, starting here around 11 o'clock, you start off as a single adult, then you become the new couple, that's the young married couples, couple with children, couple with teenagers, then you're launching the children, and then you're the family in later life. I hate to use that word later, but that's where Pastor Marsh and I, we're the family in later life. Okay, our children, we don't have young children anymore, we don't have teenagers, our children have launched at this point, going on to their lives and their careers. And so now we can focus on spending, if I want to, $10,000. And I'm saying that conservatively. It actually costs me more than that. $10,000 to go to Paris. But if you were a couple with young children, why are you talking about trying to go to Paris and you complaining about how much diapers cost? See, if you're not conscious of the family life cycle, you will get out of your season and become frustrated with other people. Okay? And so we want you to focus on where you are and also know how to negotiate and navigate through these cycles. We also refer to these stages as seasons. So you need to know what season your family is in so you won't become frustrated and constantly comparing yourself to other people in other seasons. Families and individuals continue to change and adapt as you go through the family life cycle. So you should be maturing and gaining wisdom as you go through each season, time, and as you progress through each of these stages. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, Paul says this. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man or matured, what did I do? I put away childish things. And he's talking about this in terms of spiritual growth and maturity, but it's an application just as well to the natural. So when you're younger, when you're children, when you're immature, he says that's going to govern how you speak, how you understand, and how you think. So as we progress in these stages, as we progress through life, our speaking should change, our understanding should change, and our thinking should change for the better as we go through these cycles. So we're going to talk about the first one. I grabbed the part of my family here who's in that second stage that we'll talk about in a moment. But the first one is almost like a pre-family stage. But it's necessary even as you think about family. And the first one is the single adult or the unattached adult. Okay? The unattached adult. That's a single adult. The other refers to it as an unattached adult. And this is a time for independence. This is a time that you can do what you want to do. To some degree, you can be self-focused. Is that a better word? I said in the New Testament, I said you can be selfish, but let's not, because that has negative connotation. But during this time, you can be self-focused. For example, you know, who I really want to have up here talk about this one was my son Daniel. Okay, that's where he is right now. But because Daniel is independent and self-focused and do what he want to do, he's in Atlanta for a week. And he's not here. He's in Atlanta visiting with his fiance. Okay, so this is a time where, as young adults, you're getting to know yourself. But it's a time that you, and let me add this, you're single. Can I hear all the how many single people got in here? Okay, all the single people, okay? And particularly those of, you know, we have people who are single for various, some of them will used to be married, some of them you're single because you're widowed, you're single because you're divorced. But I'm talking about kind of looking in the traditional thing. So in traditional sense, the single person is a young adult who hasn't been married yet. And this is a time when you can be independent. You can focus on what you want to focus on. You can do what you want to do. Luke 15, 12 through 14. Luke 15, 12 through 14. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he's a young adult. Okay. And he going to launch himself. Okay. Younger them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And then not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So this is a young, unattached adult, and you can do what you want to do. However, there are consequences for doing what you want to do. And it's okay to do what you want to do as long as you can deal with the consequences of whatever you want. And so what happens sometimes, you have young, independent, young adults who want to do what they want to do, but then they want somebody else to be responsible for what they do. Or they want to do what they want to do, and now they don't want to deal with the consequences of what they do, and somebody else has to deal with consequences for their grown acts. So this young man, he said, Father, give me what belongs to me. And he obviously was grown enough. Father didn't try to stop him. He went, and not many days, the younger son, he gathered all, and he took his journey into a far country. And one of the things that we even talked about earlier today is that this needs to be a time of independence, but you still need, it's independence with personal responsibility and personal accountability. Okay. And the Bible talks about that, and he encourages young people and young adults to do what you want to do. Ecclesiastes 11:9, it says, rejoice, young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. walk in all the ways of your heart. Okay? Walk in the ways of your heart. In other words, do what you want to do. And in the sight of your eyes. But means stop, pause, think about this. Something about to change. But know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now, when I heard this as a young man in the church, basically, God bringing judgment, the connotation was God going to get you. Do the wrong thing, God going to get you. I'm here to let you know God's not out to get you. He's not trying to get you. But when it says God will bring you into judgment, it means there's going to be, there's a consequence for everything we do. And me and my son Chandler, we've been talking about this physically. A lot of times what you do in your 20s and your 30s, even physically, your body starts asking or starts showing the symptoms of what you did in your 20s and 30s when you're 40 and you're 50 and you're 60. Because for every action, there's a reaction. Okay, for every seed, there's going to be some kind of harvest. So the Bible says, do what you want to do, but understand there's going to be responsibility and accountability for what you do. So you say, it's my money. I can spend my money any way I want to spend it. But now you're 30 and you want to buy a house because you're in the next stage and you're married, but you can't get a house because you don't have a down payment and you got bad credit for all the stuff you did because you was grown. So it's independence, but it still needs to be, there's responsibility and there's accountability. And the reason why I talk about accountability here, because in the case of the prodigal son, he went to a far country and the Bible said he began to be in want, meaning everything didn't crash at once. Things gradually started getting worse. And the only thing that grabbed him to make him realize maybe he's made some mistakes here and he needs to reconnect with his father is that he got ready to eat the same thing that that the pigs was eating. Then he said, this doesn't make any sense. I could have had a V8. Okay. He said, I'm going to rise and go to my father. And so what I encourage even is that even as single young adults in that first stage is that you still, for your own sake, keep relationships, ideally with your parents, ideally with people who are spiritually mature, who can help you along the way and guide you even in your independent decisions so you don't end up in the pig pen. We look back over and we realize there's certain things we went through. We left, when I say we left home, when I'm not just being independent as a married couple, but we left our family and we moved to Maine and we had just gotten married. When we moved to Maine, I was 24, you were 21. And, then we had children, didn't have family around to help us with children. And then because everybody didn't want us to move, my pride says, I can't tell anybody anything we're going through. So we went through everything by ourselves and we realized it would have been still good to be around family, older people who could speak into our lives and be accountable. Right? Okay. So during this stage, during this independent stage, it's important that you learn yourself, learn how to manage your time. That means priorities. Learn things like being on time. Because all this is preparing you for the next stage. Watch this. If you can't be on time by yourself, you can't get out the house to be at work on time by yourself. What you going to do when you living with somebody and y'all don't have multiple bathrooms and you got one sink and one mirror and you got to take turns? And you can't even get out the house on time by yourself. So, when we think about things about being married, we think about things like, you're ready to love somebody, you're ready to commit. How about, can you be on time? Because being on time doesn't get any better when you get married. Am I right?
You are right.
Yeah. Huh? You're pretty punctual people. Yeah. I saw it show up right after they got married. They used to be more punctual. Okay, so just things, learn how to manage your time, learning how to manage your money by yourself, and knowing what your bills are. Because if you know what your bills are, you know if you can afford to get married. Or can you afford to marry this person? Are they going to help you with your bills or just give you more bills? Okay? But you don't know that if you're not managing your own money. You don't know what it takes to live your own life. And y'all heard me say this. You also need to just enjoy being by yourself. The reason to get married is not because you can't stand being by yourself. See, I just can't stand being by myself. I can't stand. Well, if you can't stand being by yourself, what makes you think somebody else is going to stand being with you? You don't even like being by yourself. Okay? And you want to build and manage credit in preparation for the next stage. Want to add anything to this, honey? So that's that independent stage. Next stage, talking about being the newly married couples, thus the young Baileys here. Okay? And we call that coupling.
Coupling.
Now, one of the other things that we kind of said in passing the other day is that me and Chandler were talking about it. You know, if you don't have time to do these things, it can bring stress into your marriage because you're trying to do all this at one time. Okay? So, you know, people in different situations. So, you either got a baby and then you get married, or you have a baby as soon as you get married, or you leave your parents' house and you go right into the marriage house, and then you got a baby. So you're trying to juggle the things that you should have developed just as a single young adult. At the same time, you're trying to do the coupling, coming together as one, and at the same time, you're raising children immediately. So you've gotten three different life stages crammed into one. And many times that can cause a lot of stress. That if you could have had more control over that or planned that better, it gives you more time to progress from one stage to the next stage. So during this couple stage, let me before we even start dialoguing here, just give some scriptures where the scriptures talk about coupling. Okay? Matthew 19:5. It said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And when it's talking, you know, I know it says the man leaving and cleaving, but what it's really saying is saying that now once you get married, this becomes your primary relationship. That relationship and this relationship becomes our primary relationship. You know, me and my son, we are pretty close. We talk all the time. But this can't be his primary relationship. She has to be his primary relationship. Okay? We know people who their sister is their best friend, and now they get married. And I remember a gentleman coming and saying to us, he said, "Pastor, when I come home, I want to chill. But she loves her sister. Every time I come home, my sister-in-law up in my house." Okay? And it started causing stress in the marriage. Because this coupling stage is time for y'all to be together. Okay? And, you know, my daughter-in-law said, she said, I guess when we get married, we ain't going to see y'all, because y'all ain't going to never come over the house. No, we ain't going to barge in. This is coupling time. This is coupling time. We got home yesterday, Monday, from Chandler went with me, North Carolina. And so we got home maybe around 3-4 o'clock after we drove back. And so I said, "Go on in the house." He said, I can't just walk in the house. I said, "Walk in the house." He said, I don't know how mom be dressed. What y'all be doing three? I said, "Boy, go on in the house. Those days, we ain't coupling like that no more."
You coupling by myself?
I said, "Go on in the house. Your mom dressed." So we walked in. I said, Chandler, he was concerned you wasn't dressed. She said, "In the middle of the day? But when you're coupling, newlyweds, it could be any time of day." Okay? So, things change in different seasons. So, During this time, you're getting to know each other. You're cleaving to each other. You're working on becoming one flesh. Genesis 24:67, it says, "When Isaac brought home his wife, Rebekah, his mother had died, Sarah died." He said, and he loved her Genesis 24 and 67. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So his wife comforted him. Y'all are learning to comfort each other, to be there for each other. All this is part of this initial stage when you first get married of coupling. Proverbs 5:18-19 is talking about when you first get married, about really developing the sexual intimacy that you should have. It said, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love." I was watching the doctors the other day, and they were talking about people being upset by breastfeeding. And one of the female doctors on the doctor said, he said, "Breasts are made for nursing." The Bible says they're not just for nursing. Solomon tell his son, "Let her breast satisfy thee," not just the baby, "satisfy thee at all times." Come on, I'm in the word. This is. Okay. "And be thou ravished always with her love." It says, it's talking about during that time that of developing the sexual intimacy that you should have. And then Deuteronomy 24:5 in the Old Testament, when people got married, okay, when it says, Deuteronomy 24:5, "When a man takes a wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year and cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." Now, y'all know they had to have the money to do that. Different society for 1 year. And it says basically, and how we walk that out now is that when you get married, sometimes all the things you were doing as a single person, you may have to back up from it. Okay. That's why, you know, people complain sometimes about these single people doing too much in the church. I said, milk them dry. Just let them do everything they need to do. Because when you get married, I'm not going to be able to get as much out of them. Because you do need to curtail things. You need to focus more on each other once you get married than you did as a single person. So in the Bible, you know, they were given off from being in the army or war for a year. It says so he can cheer up his wife. New Living Translation says a newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to his wife that he has married. So, Tyler and Elise, are y'all coupling? How's the coupling going?
Going well. It's going well.
Coupling has been great so far. Coupling has been great so far.
Been awesome.
We were talking about potentially next year, instead of a men's conference, doing a men's retreat. And so Tyler heard that, said, "Men's retreat." I said, "Yeah." No, he said, I ain't so sure I want to go leave my home and go to be with some men for the weekend. That's because he's coupling. Now, when you're in the later years, you know, the wife be telling the husband, "Don't you have some place to go? Aren't the men on a retreat this weekend?" You know, the man trying to watch the game at home said, "Don't you want to spend some time with your sister? When the last time went to see your mother?" You're in a different season at that time, but during this time, you're coupling. You're getting to know each other. What adjustments have y'all seen that you need to make, that you've had to make?
I guess for me, I'm very much of a neat freak. I'm almost OCD. I like things being in their place. I'm very punctual. I like to be early, not on time. So if I ever walk in here late, it wasn't my fault. It was his. And so an adjustment that I've had to make is just not being so concerned with everything being in their place. If I don't load the dishwasher tonight, the world's not going to end.
Come on now.
Go in my apartment right now. There's dishes in the sink right now.
But I would also say we both made adjustments in making sure that we are spending enough time with each other. because we just got married not too long ago, and we both are embarking in our careers. One thing that's a principle in our marriage is reinforcing time with each other and not being so worried about everything else going on. The world's going to keep spinning, but I think this is an important time for us.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already launched your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.